This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Still got some pocket money.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Gas and food prices aren't completely draining everyone's wallet. The retail sales numbers from May just came in this morning, and they're better than expected. Again, Walmart and Costco led the way. Walmart says it has cashed $350 million worth of tax rebate checks so far, but the company doesn't know how much of that money was actually spent at Walmart. Wall Street is just glad to hear something positive. So far, the Dow is up 74 points in early trading, 12,465. The NASDAQ has put on 18, and the S&P 500 is up 8. The overseas stock markets are a mixed bag this morning, mostly minor losses in Europe and Asia. Oil is at about $122 a barrel. Investment bank Bear Stearns vanished over the weekend into the arms of J.P. Morgan. But as the buyout went through, the bear did give birth to a new cub. The announcement is expected today. Bear's private equity firm will be spun off as a separate company. Nancy Marshall Genzer has more.
The private equity division, known as Bear Stearns Merchant Banking, won't cut all ties to J.P. Morgan. It will be the new company's biggest investor. The Wall Street Journal reports J.P. Morgan will put about $1 billion into the new company. Now, private equity firms make their money by purchasing companies, restructuring them, and selling them for a profit. Moody's Economy.com chief economist Mark Zandi says this is a tough time to be doing that.
It's hard to raise the money to make these purchases because people are nervous. The stock market is down from a year ago. It's wobbly. So things aren't normal.
Zandi doesn't expect things to get back to normal for 6 to 18 months. And the baby bear won't have access to back office support from Papa Bear Stearns anymore, going it alone in a tough economy. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Yesterday, United Airlines said it was cutting jobs and putting planes out of service. Today, it was Continental's turn. 3,000 jobs, 67 planes. Continental's CEO said the airlines are in crisis, and he won't be taking a salary for the rest of the year. Fuel costs are also having an effect on the condition of roads in this country. Today, Congress looks at why a highway trust fund is about to go broke. Steve Henn explains.
Back in 2005, Congress approved almost $300 billion in transportation projects. It planned to pay for all this with proceeds from the gas tax. But high gas prices mean Americans are driving less, and funds for highway improvements are drying up. John Horsley runs the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials.
States are facing the loss of approximately $13.5 billion come October. It'll be a massive cut.
A bipartisan commission recently recommended hiking the gas tax to balance the books, but Jack Basso, a former official at the U.S. Department of Transportation, is skeptical.
I give you this 100% certainty. Before the election, nothing is going to happen on that issue. That's for sure.
But over the long haul, Basso believes every option has to be on the table. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Thursday, June 5th on Marketplace.org. Despite the tight credit market, companies are still trying to make deals happen. There's word this morning that Verizon is in talks to buy Alltel for close to $30 billion. Britain's Vodafone is also involved in this since it has a big stake in Verizon. Stephen Beard reports from London.
The deal is complex. Three telecom companies, two private equity firms, and three investment banks are involved. That means plenty of opportunity for crossed wires and missed connections. But if the takeover goes ahead, it will create America's biggest cell phone provider. With around 80 million subscribers, the new group would easily overtake the current number one, AT&T. Analysts say the deal looks good. The new group could save up to $1 billion a year by combining operations. And for Vodafone, the attractions are clear. The U.S. has a lot of potential growth. 20% of Americans don't own a cell phone, while in many of the mature European markets, there are more cell phones than people. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Most people pay a set fee for unlimited high-speed internet access. But starting today, people who live in Beaumont, Texas, will be the guinea pigs in a little experiment that might lead to something different. From our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports.
Time Warner Cable starts testing a new price structure today. The more stuff you download, the more you'll pay. Analyst Craig Moffett at Sanford Bernstein says it's only fair. If someone keeps downloading Seasons of Weeds while you're just sending emails, they should have to pay for all that extra bandwidth.
One half-hour show is equivalent to about a year's worth of email.
But some consumer watchdog groups say Time Warner's new fee structure is unfair. Jeff Chester's with the Center for Digital Democracy.
Time Warner and a half a dozen other big phone and cable companies dominate the broadband market today. Consumers have no choice. There's really no competition.
But most consumer advocates agree that having to pay for downloads is better than having them blocked altogether. For example, the Federal Communications Commission is investigating Comcast for allegedly blocking file sharing services like BitTorrent. Comcast says it's only slowed file delivery. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Time to focus on an entrepreneur doing something a little offbeat. Well, maybe in this case, it's onbeat. You're about to meet the man who invented punk rope. Well, just take a listen. From the Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk, Bridget Bergen has the story.
On a cool spring evening, about 20 men and women gather in a New York gym. Some are dressed like serious athletes, others sport tattoos and piercings. They're all here to skip.
Little swing, guys!
Good. Ropes whirl, and the participants jump furiously in time to driving punk rock. Tim Half directs the action. He started jumping rope in high school, at about the same time as he started listening to this kind of music. He got the idea of combining the two for a fitness class at New York University. 4 years on, fitness centers and colleges in 13 states offer punk rope classes. Half's Punk Rope Inc. makes about $40,000 a year. Most of the money comes from training new instructors. Now he's looking for new ways to build his business.
You know, we want to scale it to the point where there's enough students in it and it has enough recognition that a line of DVDs starts to make sense.
He may be in what you could call a fad business.
That's Ed Rogoff from the Field Center for Entrepreneurship at Baruch College. He says fitness startups are particularly challenging since they're so influenced by industry trends and individual taste.
Is this the next Richard Simmons or Taibo or, some other, rowing machine that you end up seeing on late night television infomercials that lasts for a couple of years and then sort of fades away?
As punk rope has become more popular, Haft has thought about franchising. But Rogoff thinks Haft would be better served by defining punk rope's brand and target audience.
There have been multiple audiences, and we haven't quite figured out which one seems to be most excited and fired up about punk rope.
While punk rope finds itself, Haft is still training instructors to teach new classes.
This week alone, there was some interest from Chicago, Nashville, Atlanta, and Cleveland, which is pretty awesome.
And Haft isn't just counting on the classes in future DVD. Punk Rope recently started selling a name brand jump rope through its website. It's called, appropriately, the Slasher. In New York, I'm Bridget Bergen for Marketplace.
We'll be right back.
Last night, Hockey Town won another Stanley Cup.
It is brought right back in. A little pass to the front backhander. Save on Scott! And that's it! The Detroit Red Wings, for the fourth time in 11 years, are the Stanley Cup champions.
Detroit beat Pittsburgh 4-2, so the season's over. But the journey is just beginning for the actual Cup. It's about to travel the world, as it does every year. And somebody has the job of following it around. That somebody is Phil Pritchard with the Hockey Hall of Fame. So, Phil, where is the Stanley Cup now?
Right now it's Nick Lidstrom's house. Part of the ritual or tradition on the first night, the captain is responsible for it.
So the basic concept here is that each member of the team gets to keep the cup for a day?
Basically, yeah. And, I mean, each member of the team, that means that's all the players. That's the coaching staff, the owners, the equipment managers, the doctors. Everybody's part of that team.
And they can take the cup anywhere they want?
Pretty close to it. Like, you look at the Red Wings roster, there's a Russian, a Slovak, Czech Republic, Finn, and Swedes.
What's the strangest thing you've seen happen with the cup?
The strangest thing? I mean, we've been mountain climbing with it. We've been fishing with it. We've been at churches for kids to be christened out of it. we've been to sauna parties over in northern Finland and Sweden. And all of these things sound weird, but when the guys explain why they want to do this afterwards, it all makes sense. It's part of who they are and what they are.
Have you ever gotten nervous about the cup getting damaged or lost or anything like that?
I think one of the things about it is it's the cup's 115 years old and it's an inanimate object. So it does get scratched. It does get dinged in that because it gets passed around from winter to winter and you never know what's going to happen, whether it's going to hit the side of a locker in the change room or hit a kitchen door at someone's house. But the players all respect what it is. They've spent their lifetime winning this, and they know this 24 hours is pretty special for them.
Thank you, Phil. Get some sleep. I know it's been a long night.
The whole trip's just starting.
Yeah. All right, Phil Pritchard, the keeper of the Stanley Cup. Thanks for joining us.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.